Satan and his host had legal claim now to stand before God and say, God, look at your stupid son, David. He sinned. He committed adultery. He committed murder. You told him in your law he is not to do these things, but he did them anyway. Now we have legal claim to him and his family, his wives, his children, to torment them. And the curse was spoken. And the curse was that the child that would be born unto Bathsheba would surely die. Think of that. The sin of David and Bathsheba cost that little child its life. It never got to live more than just a few hours. That little child died a few short hours or days after it was born. It never got to run and play and experience the things that other children did. Why? Because of a curse that was brought on its life. The devil had legal right to kill it because David and Bathsheba sinned. But he held David responsible. David was a man. He held David responsible for that, and David's son died. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. Even though David sincerely repented, the spoken judgment came upon him, and it passed down through all of David's family. Under the law, there was no remedy for a curse. How sad. Under the law, curses from idolatry passed down to the third and the fourth generation. But in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, when a child was conceived out of wedlock, the curse passed down to the tenth generation. Deuteronomy 23:2, once the curse was set in motion, no recourse was provided by the law. That is a devastating thing to think, that those people that lived in that day and age, that the sins that they committed, there was no recourse. There was nothing to be done. All I can say at this point is thank God that he sent Jesus. Because once he sent Jesus, then we have a wonderful thing that Jesus did for us, and Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. Ladies and gentlemen, if you realize that you've sinned and you've done any of these things, and I'm sure many of you watching out there in television land have absolutely broken many of these rules God told you not to do, well, you're under a curse. You're under a curse from God. So what you need to do is make sure, as born-again Christians, if you are a born-again Christian, you need to repent of your sins. You need to ask God to forgive you for what you've done. And if you have held a grudge against anyone, you need to go to that person and ask them to forgive you. And you need to walk in a love relationship. You need to ask God to forgive you. And then you need to claim, according to Galatians 3:13-14, the redemption from the curse. You need to claim that if Christ redeemed me from the curse, according to Galatians 3:13, then I am redeemed. In other words, he bought me. He paid for me. I'm no longer under that curse. And then command the demon of curse to leave you and never return to you in the name of Jesus. And then walk holy before God. Walk holy in obedience to his word. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 says, you shall not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. I visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. How do you prove to God you love him? You obey him. He says if you don't obey him, you hate him. If you disagree with what he said in his word, you hate him. And he said, anybody that will not obey my commandments hates me. And so therefore, all those that break my rules, these curses will be passed to your children, to the third and the fourth generation, except if you bring up a child out of wedlock, and then it's 10 generations. Now, Deuteronomy 23:2 says, a bastard. Now, I got in big trouble one time by using that name, but the Bible uses that name. I guess I could call it illegitimate. But the King James Bible in Deuteronomy 23:2 calls a child that's born out of wedlock a bastard. Today, we like to call them illegitimate children, maybe even just children born out of wedlock, but most people don't call them nothing. They don't even say anything, just say my children. They don't like to acknowledge one way or the other. There's so many children alive today on the face of the earth that has no father. It's amazing that mothers and fathers, men and women, not mothers and fathers. Mothers and fathers get married, raise their children, and stay together and raise their children together and raise them godly. That's what God said He wants from a man and a woman, godly offspring. He didn't want these little heathens. He wants godly offspring. But in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 2, it says, an illegitimate or a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Just think, under the law, if a person was born out of wedlock, he was not allowed to go into the congregation of the Lord, him or his family, for the next 10 generations. If that was true today, there would be a multitude of people, that would not be allowed into the church sanctuary. Thank goodness for Jesus. Thank goodness for Jesus and for the blood of Jesus, which washes away all of our sins and forgives us and redeems us from this curse of the law. Thank goodness for Jesus. Now then, there's another rule here. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, this is the one we really love to see. Christ redeemed us. Now, we have considered the bad news. We've talked all about that stuff that was under the law and that there was no remedy for the curse under the law. Now we come to the good news. Christ has provided a way of escape. All I can say is glory, glory, glory. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. That's all I can say. Because it is so clearly written in Galatians 3:13. So many people today in the church are under a curse. And they're under a curse because they don't even know what the law says. They don't understand the Word of God. They don't read it. They don't research it. They don't pray over it. They don't spend time with God. So they don't really know and understand what's going on. But yet, they're under a curse and they're accountable for the entire Word of God, even though they don't know it. But when you learn about the curses, and you learn that your sin puts you under a curse from God, and there's no exceptions to the rule. I don't care who you are, man or woman, if you've sinned, you're under a curse from God. If you didn't just do all things the Lord told you to do, even in the New Testament, you're under a curse. So repent of your sins. Repent of your sins of unbelief. Repent of your sins of wickedness. And ask God to forgive you for all of your sins. And when you ask Him, He will put your sins as far as the east is from the west. And that's good news. He will forgive you. And then you can get rid of the curse. Let's read Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Think about that. How did Jesus redeem us from the curse of the law? He became our sin bearer. He became our substitute. He took upon Himself the penalty that was due you and me. And He bore it in His own body on the cross. Peter says it very well in this next verse. Let's go to this next verse here in 1 Peter 2:24. In 1 Peter 2:24, the Word of God says, who His own self bare our sins in His own body, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, and then by whose stripes you were healed. I've had a lot of people tell me when they try to come for healing, they say, I want to be healed. I said, well, do you know God watches over His word to perform His word? That's written in Jeremiah 1:12. Many Christians don't even know that. I said, you need to make sure you've repented of your sin. Then you come to God on behalf of a scripture, and then you need to stand in faith on that scripture. What scripture are you going to stand on for your healing? I say, by His stripes I was healed. I said, you have any idea where that's found? Almost 90 times out of 100, people will say no. Well, let me tell you why you don't get very much from God. You can't really have faith for something you don't even know is in the Word of God. You've heard somebody say it, but where is it found? Well, Isaiah 53:5 and 1 Peter 2:24 is two places that it's found. The Lord says, let everything be confirmed out of the mouths of two or three witnesses. Well, there's at least two. So if you know those two and you meet this criteria, then you can be forgiven and restored. Now, when you come to the Lord and begin to petition Him to forgive you of your sins, I see people ask Him over and over and over and over for the same sin. I have even been guilty of that myself. I guess when I do something that's pretty bad, I think the blood of Jesus is not strong enough to wash away my sin. But let me tell you, the blood of Jesus is far more powerful than necessary to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So regardless of what you've done, when you come to Christ, ask Him to forgive you. He will. He'll wash away that sin and He'll make you clean. Now, if you have already become a partaker of the divine nature by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you can claim the redemption from this curse. And when you claim the redemption from this curse, and if you are sick at the time, once you've claimed the redemption from the curse, now you know the devil has no more legal claim to you. So take scriptures like Luke 10:19-20, or Mark 16:17-18, that gives you all power and all authority over the devil. Once you've repented of your sins, take those magnificent scriptures and demand those demons of curse that had come to you because of your sin, demand they leave you. And when they do, and they will, if you stay in faith, after you've claimed the redemption from the curse, broken the power of the devil, and you kick him out, he has to leave, and then you can be completely restored and made well. And all this can be done because of the wonderful thing Jesus did for you on the cross.
We have to stop right there today, but if you'd like the teachings in its entirety, call us at 940-242-2106 or go to the web www.tlsm.org, and there you can order all these teachings in their entirety free and postpaid. Remember, Jesus is Lord.